All right, get to our text. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, and upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This was written 600 years before Jesus Christ came. It was a prophecy that had been given by the Spirit of God, predicting that to humanity a child would be born. But you notice what it says, unto us a child is born, but then it says, to us a son is given. The eternal Son of God didn't come into being when he was born in a manger. The child was born, but the son was given. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He was already his son. He didn't become his son when he was born in a manger. He was his son in eternity. He was his son forever and ever before. And so when he says this, this prediction that was given 600 years before Jesus came, that the child was born, that the son was given, and the government will be on his shoulder. Rulership will be on his shoulders. He will rule. And, you know, another one of those parts of Handel's Messiah, which is an incredible piece of classical music that he wrote, and it's all scripture. And it's just the whole thing is all scripture. There's a portions of it about Christmas and Easter, and the other one is, and he shall reign forever and ever. And that's exactly what the scripture teaches us from the book of Revelation. And his name will be called. And I just love this. I love this because he says that to us, remember, it's to us that a child was born. He didn't come into the world just to come and have a little visit for his own pleasure. He didn't come for his own, just to enjoy himself in this planet. He came here for us. And he came here because we had a great need. And that need was your sin and my sin that had cut us off from God. And we have no way of reaching God because of our sin. Our sin puts a barrier between us and God. And we can't get to God. So what does God do? He comes to us. He comes to us. And as he does come to us, he comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. But he comes in a way that probably none of us would ever even dreamed of coming. He didn't come on chariots of gold. He didn't come and reside in a huge castle and say, now God is here, come and worship me. But he came in absolute humility. He came and he took the lowest place that was possible as he went to the manger instead of to the palace. He took. This was all planned by God. It was planned by God that he would come in lowliness and humility, that he would come among us, that he would reveal himself to shepherds who were the lowest class of people at that time, that he would walk among us in poverty. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man, he has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't even have a home. The end of it all, he was a traveling vagabond as far as the world would be concerned. This was God's plan that he come, that he would connect to us, and that he would connect to us, and he would make sure that it would be very clear that he would come at the lowest level possible, that he would not come high on the totem pole, but at the very bottom of it, and come towards you and I in love and in humility, reaching out the hands of Almighty God towards us, saying, I've come to bring you home. I've come to connect you back to God. I've come to meet with you. You see, when it says, for to us a child is given, a child is born, that's us. To us. We're the us. The human race is the us. It's you. God is passionately in love with you. And you know how it is sometimes. You can think about people maybe who, you know, they're uppity or they're, you know, they're highfalutin or they got all kinds of money and they have no time for you. And maybe people think of God in that way. And I still feel there's a lot of people who, you know, they may be agnostic and they think about God, but they think about God as some, you know, guy up there who arbitrarily does whatever he wants and doesn't really care about us and because he's high and mighty and we're just lowly. But that's not Jesus, friends. That's how God came. He came meek and he came lowly. He came approachable. He said, I'm humble and I'm lowly in heart. Come to me. I'm approachable. You'll find rest for your souls. That's the one who said, unto us a child is born. That's the person. And what's beautiful about it here is that he describes his name shall be called. And what he's actually saying, his character will be these things. But he could be called all of this. There are over 100 names for Jesus Christ in the Bible. I think there's actually a lot more, but I'm thinking there's at least 100 names, clear names about Jesus Christ and who he is. And each name tells us something about his character and what he's like. And the first one that's listed here, his name will be called Wonderful. Wonderful. If you ever watch Dragon's Den, there's a guy on there who used to be on anyway. What's his name? Kevin O'Leary. Yes, that's right. Is it Kevin O'Leary?
Yeah.
He calls himself Mr. Wonderful. Believe me, he's not Mr. Wonderful. If you ever watch the program, you'll know that pretty quick, right? But there is someone who is Mr. Wonderful. There is a Mr. Wonderful, and it is Jesus Christ. He is Mr. Wonderful 1,000 times over. And, you know, at one time he wasn't wonderful to me, but when I got to know him, when I discovered his love, when I discovered his power that was towards me in that mercy and forgiveness to deliver me, to set me free, to pull me in the right direction, to transform my heart from the inside out, I can say, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus, who can compare with thee? Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, fairer than all art thou to me. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Yes.
He was wonderful to me before I was saved.
No question. He's wonderful whether we know it or not. He's always been wonderful. Just sometimes we're blind to that, how wonderful he is. We're not seeing it. You know how it is sometimes? You got kids who grow up and they maybe they don't treat their parents very well. And they don't see any, you know, they're two old idiots who, you know, have to be my parents sort of thing. And, you know, and lots of words said that really were very unkind. But maybe a few years down the road when they actually become parents and then they begin to think and they look back and they realize how wonderful my parents were to me. How absolutely wonderful. Now, maybe that's not the case in everybody's story. But I can say this, that I have a wonderful mother. And it was only after I became a Christian did I really begin to appreciate, and I'm still appreciating even more, all that she did for us. That she poured out everything for us continually. Wonderful. But I didn't see it at all, but that doesn't change how wonderful she was. She was wonderful, and she is wonderful. And that's how Jesus is. Oh, that you could see how wonderful he is. Oh, that so many are blinded to the wonder of Jesus Christ. There is no viewscape that this world could ever offer. There is no wonder of the seven wonders of the world, natural or man-made, that compare to the wonder of the person of Jesus Christ. He is wonderful. That's just one title of him. Just one. I couldn't exhaust that. How awesome and how incredible he is. But there's another one. He's a counselor. A counselor. How often have we needed help in making a decision in life? Have you ever felt that way? And have there times when you feel like I have no one that I can actually talk to about this? Sometimes we can find someone we can confide in for counsel. I need counsel every day. I need wisdom beyond myself for life's struggles and trials and situations. And what am I going to do with my life? And what direction do I take? And where do I go? We have a counselor. God has given to us counsel. Unto us a child is born. His name will be called Wonderful. Counselor. Oh, you're not alone. You're never alone. What do I do, Lord? Which direction do I take in life? And I can look back over major decisions in my life and found myself praying and seeking God. And there were times when I was like, oh, God, you got to show me now. But at the right time, God revealed to me what the next step was in my journey of life. And sometimes he teaches us patience and doesn't just splash it all out to us. He doesn't just give you the map of the rest of your life and say, okay, here it is. See me at the finish line. Because that's the way we would treat him. We'd say, okay, I got the map. We wouldn't even follow it. But on top of that, we wouldn't be depending on him. We learn to trust and depend on him as we look to him for counsel every single day of our lives. I need counsel from God. There's no greater counselor than Jesus Christ. Take your counsel from him. Find yourself in prayer. Open the word of God. Find out what he has to say. He's already said much. There's much counsel already revealed in the word of God. And the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ will come to you and take the truths from the word of God and reveal them to you, and you'll get wise counsel in life. We need wise counsel for everything. You know, it's not like, okay, he's a counselor when it comes to religious matters. No, he's the counselor when it comes to financial matters. He's a counselor when it comes to family matters. He's a counselor when it comes to depression and health issues and everything in life. He's the counselor. He is a wonderful, wonderful counselor. You see, wonderful could really cover all of these things. He's a wonderful counselor, but he's also the mighty God himself. Mighty God. He's all-powerful, all-wise, all-sufficient. He's all of in all. He's everything. He's the mighty God. There are people who don't believe that Jesus Christ was God. They need to read the Bible and discover Mighty God is what his title is. That's God, right? Mighty God. That's who Jesus is. God came to connect with the human race. Mr. Wonderful came to connect with the human race. Counselor, the one who has all the wisdom that you'll ever need, has come to connect to us. It's to us he has become the wonderful. It's to us he's become the counselor. To us he is a mighty God. Powerful, able to do anything at all times in any way. He's able, powerful. And I've seen the glory and I've seen his power. And so can you as you walk with God. If you're not going to walk with God, you're not going to see these things. You're going to walk blind. It's a tragedy when people, even if they come near the light or they see the light, some other bauble of this world, whatever it might be, it might be a relationship, it might be finances, it might be the lures. The devil's always going to be there to tell you, this is better, this will attract you, this will satisfy you, this will draw you in a better direction. And all the while God's saying, no, come to me, go deeper with God. You'll discover how wonderful he is. You'll see how great a counselor he is. You'll discover how mighty a God he is. This week I went to the doctor. What day did I go to the doctor's?
Thursday.
Oh, glad somebody knows. Okay. Thursday. Thursday. You guys know I've been suffering with a lot of pain over the last couple of weeks. And it has been debilitating pain. And I've had to take narcotics just to function at all. And as I went, we went to see the doctor, and he identified no nerve damage, which is wonderful. But he said the muscles are traumatized, right? And so he gave me some exercise to do, which I'm doing them. But following being at the doctor's, I gave Tom a call. I forget what it was about, something. But anyway, in my conversation with him, he reminded me a number of years ago, when we were working at Cape Breton Bible Camp, and we had a whole pile of brush to burn, and we made this big pile of brush. And once we put the pile of brush together, we said it was a wet, everything was soggy. So we got some gas. Here's the old story. We got a big jug of gas, and we liberally poured all this gas on it, okay? So that's okay. We got the gas on it, and then we stood back from it. What we didn't understand, and we said afterwards, I actually looked that up. When you pour gas on something, if there's like a breeze or something, what happens is that the fumes from the gas can, if the breeze is going in your direction, that the gas might be over there on the fire, but the fumes can be over here, right? So he took the match, Tom was in front, and he had the match, and he threw it a good distance away like that. But when that match, in midair, before it ever got near the pile of brush, because the fumes, there was a breeze coming through the wood, there was a massive explosion. It was so powerful that it struck Tom with such power, it blew him backwards, and he went flying in the air. And when he came out, when we were running over, Tom, are you okay? Are you all right? And his face was burned. And his arms, it was fall, so they had jackets on, he had glasses on, he had a hat on, all that preserved it, but his face was burned. And he was in absolute excruciating agony. So I got him in the truck and I headed for North Sydney Hospital. And all the while, can you go faster? Like the pain was so bad. We get to the hospital, and there he is in this agony. We get him in there. The nurse comes to him, and they say, we're going to get some narcotics. But he says, I will not take narcotics. Tom was a desperate addict for so many years, an addict that was near death from his experiences. If you want to know more about it, go to our website, go in testimonies, and look up Tom McDonald, and he'll tell you that the story is there. So anyway, I just laid my hands on him there by the hospital bed, and I said to God, God, will you take away his pain? Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, take away this man's pain. Instantly, the pain was gone. It was so miraculous that the nurses came in and said, we've got to give you something for pain. He says, I don't have any more pain. No, that's not possible. Sir, you have pain. No, I don't have any more pain. And he never had any more pain after that. It was instant, complete. And when he went to see the burn doctor, like, they were amazed. The healing that happened was so incredible. It was God. There is a mighty God who still does miracles today. So anyway, Tom was talking to me. He says, I'm reminded of this. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will deliver you from pain. I said, go ahead, Tom. And so he did. Now, others have been praying. Everybody's been praying for me. There's a world of people praying for me. But God knows what he's doing. You know, I never touched another pain pill for 27 hours after that. It was gone. Now, that doesn't mean it's completely gone. It doesn't mean I don't have to take care of myself. It doesn't mean I don't have to do practical things. But it's been minimal. Like yesterday, I ended up having to take 3 throughout the day. I slept all night without any pain pills. And you had to understand, every 3 hours, I had to have a narcotic just to be able to cope. And so there's a healing that's happening. Now, it didn't completely go and go all at once and it's gone altogether. I can't say that. But I can say there's been a marked transformation since Tom made that prayer. God is real and God is able. He is the mighty God, but he's not just a mighty God way up there, but he's a mighty God to us, unto us. Unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Not a halfway father, not a father who's there sometimes and not there other times, but an everlasting father, a permanent father in every way, because he's forever. He covers eternity. He just doesn't cover this life, but he covers the life to come. He covers forever and ever and ever. That's the kind of father that he is. Some of us have had wonderful fathers. Some of us maybe not so wonderful fathers. And those wonderful fathers, oftentimes we wish we could have them with us again, especially if they've passed on. And we miss them. And we long to be with them and long to have them. We have an everlasting father who says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. It's not that our fathers forsook us. It's that they had no choice but to leave this world. And they can't get past the wall of death. But he can. He's conquered death. We have communication with the everlasting Father. That's his title. Even though there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself is called Everlasting Father. And that again identifies with that everything that the Father is, Jesus is in every way. But remember, he's the Father to us. And that's why the title is given here, because it's in the context of to us, there is an everlasting Father. What's a father's purpose? What does he do for his children? He watches over them. He provides for them. He cares for them. He loves them. He's passionate towards them. A good father is all of those things. In that he's always looking out for the child's best interests. Shouldn't that be what a father should be? Right? He's all of that. This everlasting father. As that song says, he's a good, good father. And then the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, the Ruler of Peace. Beautiful title of who he is, because he brings peace. You know, the Bible says peace on earth and goodwill to men. And how often people have said, well, where's the peace? I was just listening to an atheist challenge a believer, saying, you know, where's the peace? If he's supposed to be the Prince of Peace, if it's peace on us and goodwill towards men, as the angels announced to the shepherds, I don't see any peace. The guy answered, he says, well, you don't know Jesus, because he brings peace. The Bible speaks about the peace of God. But in order for us to experience the peace of God, I need to have peace with God, so that he can bring a peace, he can bring a quietness of soul in the midst of darkness and troubles. Yes, in the midst of death, in the midst of suffering, and in the midst of pain. Just because I've been suffering with this pain in the arm and the shoulder and the back doesn't mean that I haven't had peace. I've experienced the peace of God in the midst of these things. I've experienced rest. I've experienced the ability to worship him and to praise him and to honor him, even in the midst of pain. I know some of you have heard that story of a time when I had burnt both eyes with chemicals. I was working in Halifax on a roof, in hot tar roofing, and the fumes from the old pitch they used to use on the roofs is very, very volatile. Anyway, we were warned, we wore glasses, and don't put your fingers under your eyes, don't touch your eyes, don't let anything get near it. Well, somehow, somewhere in the process through that day, I managed to get my eyes full of that chemical. And finally, the foreman said, get that guy off the roof before he walks off. And I was walking around just weeping with pain. My eyes were like there was two hot spears stuck in them. And they got me to the hospital. And when they get me there, the doctor says, you know, let me have a look at it. So he puts this freeze on my eyes. He says, oh, doctor, thank you, doctor. He said, don't thank me for long. He said, 5 minutes is all this is going to last, and I can't keep putting it on. He said, the pain's going to come back and it's going to get worse. He said, the only thing you can do is go into a room that's dark and suffer, he said. And he said, have no light, because as soon as you see light, it's going to be even worse. So get in a dark room and stay there. And he said, maybe by 12 or 13 hours, it's going to start to abate. So they got me home. I was blind as a bat. I couldn't do nothing. They got me home, got me in a room, and there I was in the little room that I was living in, and I sat there, and all night long, I suffered with excruciating pain that was probably as close to what I was experiencing here or more. And as I was there in that excruciating pain, the worst thing that could happen was blink. You tried to keep your eyes open, because as soon as you blinked, it was like sandpaper, and it was more like the pokers were grinding in your eyes. And I was sitting there and I was trying not to blink and trying to, but you want to try not to blink, see how long it happens. Eventually you have to blink, and every time was agony. And I want to say something in the middle of that. I began to pray and I began to worship God, and I didn't ask him to take away my pain. I was so full of pain that I said, I got to do something here. Like, you know, get a distraction going. And I started praying. And I had the most beautiful time with God that I've ever had in my life. I can't remember a time that I've had with God that was more precious than that. And yet it was the deepest suffering that I've ever experienced. That doesn't make sense, does it? He's the Prince of Peace. He didn't take away the pain. The pain did not abate. I suffered just as much as the other guy who was on the roof with me who got his eyes burned. He had a horrible night too. But I had Jesus in the midst of my pain. God doesn't guarantee he's going to take everything away. But my goodness, his presence can come upon us and in us and with us and for us in marvelous ways. So unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. There's no end to Jesus. Praise his name. He will be there forever. He will establish his throne. And when it says of David over his kingdom, it's all the prophecies of David were given, prophecies of a wonderful kingdom that would come. The Jews thought it was going to be an earthly kingdom they would set up and they would rule over the rest of the Gentiles of the world. But it was a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom that has come now. The Bible says, Jesus said, don't look for the kingdom of God as if it was here or over there. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is right now as you trust in Jesus Christ. The moment you accept him as your Savior, you step into the kingdom of God. You are with the Lord. He is with you, and he is with you all through life's journey in a powerful and a real way, and all through You're in the kingdom. Once you're in the kingdom, you're in it. And you're in it forever. The Bible says he has translated us or takes us out from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the Son of his love. He transforms and he puts us there. And he establishes it with judgment. And he does it with justice from that time forward, even forever. And it is the zeal of the Lord who will do it. It is God's passion that will accomplish this. This is a Christmas prediction of a Savior who will come to us. I have some more verses I was going to share, but that's going to be next Sunday's message. I realize that now. But isn't this a great passage of Scripture describing who Jesus is to us, for us? In every way, we have a Savior today, and he loves us. Oh, how he loves you. Don't miss the real thing. Don't miss the wonder of Jesus. Don't live without his counsel. Don't be blinded to the mightiness of who Jesus is, God himself. Don't deprive yourself of a Father who will love you for eternity. And don't miss the peace that comes. Because God establishes peace with God through Jesus Christ on the cross. He fills us with the peace of God, the Bible says, that passes understanding. And then we, and in turn, become someone who can share that peace with others in a broken and ruined world. What a Savior we have. Father, thank you this morning that we have a Savior. Thank you that to us a child is born, a son is given. Thank you, Lord, that you've given Christ to us and that he is for us in every way. Give us understanding, Lord. Don't let us miss the wonder of this Savior that was born in a manger. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.